some sunnahs pertaining to salah. Presently it's become common in Taraweeh Salah to recite 6 rakats, 10 rakats, 14 rakats, etc. The method that I am used to and that I have seen amongst our Kabirin, four rakats was counted as one as one rakat, one salah. Four rakats was counted as one salah. So if two or more than two people are sharing out the Taraweeh Salat, then they would shade out 8 and 12, or 4 and 16, etc., etc. But this method of 10 and 10, I haven't seen in our elders. And I assume that it wasn't in them, because in Taraweeh Salah, 4 rakats is known as one. One tarbiha, second tarbiha. If there's any evidence to the contrary, I would like to see it. It's one thing I haven't heard, but I've seen this. This is the one sunnah. And for a long time, this is in my mind that we should try and correct it. So if there are two satis that are sharing out the Taraweeh, one easy method is one day one reads 8 and the other will read 12, the other day they will alternate. So a fair amount is recited. The other thing that I noticed today, as the Taraweeh was about to commence, so Zaid was offering Maulana Yusuf, I think, or Maulana Ismail to come closer to the Imam. And Maulana Ismail or Maulana Yusuf asked him, "Why don't you just remain there?" So perhaps they did out of respect and consideration. Yusuf, Zaid may have felt that being Hafiz or being Alim, they should be closer. And they may have felt out of consideration that you are there first, you remain there. So this was going through my mind, that what was the right thing to do? You know, what is the right thing to do? Indeed, alhamdulillah, the minutest of mustahab and sunnat have been discussed. So the right thing is لِيَلِينِ مِنْكُمْ وَالْأَحْلَامِ وَالنُّهَى. Rasul Pak Sallam had guided the Sahaba Ikram that those that are of greater understanding, greater comprehension and learning, they should be closer to me. So they should be closer to the Imam. Now what is the reason that they should be closer, the people of understanding, of knowledge, etc.? Why should they be closer to the Imam? For two reasons. One is, they will be able to grasp all the minutest things from Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's a person of understanding, knowledge. So the minutest things, the smaller things, they'll be able to grasp more easily. So this is the one advantage. Right? The second advantage is now, ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. Then after that, those that are closer in understanding and in knowledge, than those that are closer in understanding and knowledge. So the people that are most learned, most understanding, they should be the closest to the Imam. Then after those that are closer, they should try and be close to these people that are closest to the Imam, right? As was in rank, he is superior in rank in knowledge, so he should be closer. And then this person is after him, he follows him, then he must be next. So the reasons are obvious. One is, in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they'll grasp from the Imam. After Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then those that are closest, they will benefit in two ways. One is, if the imam is even more educated and they are missing out one mustahab, for example, then they will be able to perceive it. Right? And if the imam is leaving out a mustahab, then they will correct the imam. So both ways they will benefit. Rasulullah ﷺ, they will benefit only. But after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, either they will benefit from the imam or they will correct the imam. So they should be closest. So when they will be close to the imam, then those people that are closer to them will see them, alright. This person, this is how he stands up. This is how he makes ruku. This is how he makes tashahud. This is how he makes ishara, right? So the minutest things. How is he doing the ruku? How is he doing the sajda? How is he doing the qawma? How is he doing the qiyam? How his feet are spread out in the standing posture? How is his how is his hands raised, closed, or open, or in the normal posture? Then in the qiyam, how is his posture? What is his posture like? Then how is his feet like? Are they all facing the qibla, or are they in a 5-to-5 posture? 5-to-5 or 5-past-5 posture. How is it? So all these things can come on very easily, you see. This is the tartib that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is explaining us to. That the more understanding and more learned people they stand closer, so they will perceive it from the imam and they will pass it on to those that are close to them, and so forth and so on. Right? So this is one sunnah. All it takes us, that those that are learned and more understanding in tajweed, in the Quran, in the dini ilm, they should come a little earlier. They come earlier, then this is also a mustahab. Come earlier to the masjid. Another mustahab is to occupy the front rows. Right? Another mustahab is then you start the row from the imam. You don't start the row from the left or from the right. Start the row from the imam. See, the imam is, you start the row from there. Then you move one right, one left, one right, one left. So this is how the tartib should be. Now if you're going to leave this out, what's going to happen is what you will see normally at a Jummah. The whole masjid is empty, or there are 3-5 rows that are empty, and people have all taken the places in the last row against the wall there. So they say now that we don't need to fill the last row, we don't need to fill the front rows, because we're seeing people that are more educated than us. They're not particular about filling the first row, second row. So if they're not, then we take the last row, what's wrong in it? But now where this is stemming from, it's stemming from us. So those that are more educated, they take the front row. Whether in hifz, whether in tajweed, whether in the recitation of the Quran Sharif, whether in learning, they take the first row, then the second, and so forth and so on. So this is another mustahab, you see. So those that are a little lesser than it, they will observe, all right. How does he does his qawma? How does he do his sajda? How does he does his qiyam? The Shah Waliullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi says, this is the benefit of namaz performed in congregation and in jamaat. Because in the congregation and jamaat, there will be some learned, some educated, some little lesser learned, someone very learned, someone average, someone below average. You'll have all, you'll have a mixed bag of people coming in. Now, this ummah, the Nabi of this ummah is the muallim, he's the teacher. So the ummah themselves are the students. So right till you die, you will be a student. Right, how is this being done? How is that being done? I remember Hazrat Mufti Zain al-Abidin Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, Allah Ta'ala filled his grave with noor. Right till the end, when he was about 78 or something, he came for an istimaya. So he says, up till now, I learned some things to improve my salah. up till now, when he's 78 years of age, up till this point, I still find some things, some weaknesses, and some areas where I can still improve my namaz. So this must be our approach, right? How do I improve? And a simple method is just to observe an alim. And how good will it be for that alim that he observes the minutest of mustahabs, right? How do I read the Subhana Rabbi al-Azim? Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, what do I do? How easy you will find that the ilm is flowing. That alim is practicing the minutest of mustahab, coming early, coming in the front serve, making wuzu at home, right? Then he's seated with respect, he sits behind the imam, then one person sits on the right, one person sits on the left. What is he doing? Then how does he stand up for namaz? Minutest mustahabs. All these mustahabs, then you get it right, you get it in place. You'll find this muhaddisin is very strange of them, whether it's Imam Bukhari sahab rahmatullahi or Imam Tirmizi, Imam Abu Dawud, whoever. When they document hadith, the minutest mustahab, Nabi Sallam went to toilet, then he would go a distance. He would go a distance away from the people, and then he will relieve himself. Now see, it's a minute thing. And when he's going to relieve himself, then he will not just undress, but he will come closer to the ground, and then he will undress in order to relieve himself. Do you see the minute, small things? So they take the pains to impart to us the smallest mustahabbat. Now, obviously, they played their part. Their part was to impart it to us. That was the furthest they could go. They couldn't reach us. So they did their part. How did they do their part? Is that minutest hadith, mustahab, sunnat, whatever, they documented it. And they made dua that we are the recipients, we receive it gratefully. How are we going to receive it gratefully? We appreciate it, practice it. Right? This is what he said. This is how he did it. See? So this is a very simple, easy, effective way that those that are blessed with more knowledge and understanding, then they guard every minute detail of the salah. I mean, the Quranic verse, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. They guard the salah. They guard the salah. Right. They look after, they take care of the salah. So one is to be constant, da'imun, and one is yuhafizun. There's two acts here. One is to be constant, and one is to guard. To guard the time, the posture, the way, the method, the sunnah, the mustahab. They guard all these things here, all under guard. So, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. I was thinking of a simple way, simple, easy way. My mind always goes in that how can we achieve something very simply, very easily? How can we achieve it? One is, now you sit in a class and you learn it. One is in a simple way, alright? Let's the ulama do it, learned people, understanding people, then they'll do it. People that are closer to them, they will pick it up. People that are closer to them, they will pick it up. And easily the whole jamaat is now, the whole jamaat is learned and educated. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi went for Hajj. So he went to have his hair cut halq after the Umrah or after the Hajj. So the barber told him, "No, you're doing it wrong." Barber kaun hota hai? See? Hajam. Hajam is saying, "Abu Hanifa, you're doing it wrong." Abu Hanif asked him, "What wrong am I doing?" He said, "I must face towards the Qibla. Don't you know when you're shaving off your hair at the time of Umrah or Hajj, you must face the Qibla." All right, got one thing right now. Now, as the hair started being shaven, so Abu Hanifa gave the left side of his head, the left side of the hair, to be shaven. "Bhai, you're doing it wrong again. Don't you know you must start off with the right side?" Hajam is teaching. Right. Now the hair was shaven from the right, facing the Qibla. The hair is shaven. Hajam said, "Now pick up the hair and go and bury it." That's the third sunnah. So when he was excited, impressed, he didn't feel hurt. That zamana was such. That one is a teacher, one is learning. One is teaching, one is learning. One is, yeah, say, hey, I'm a lani here, you know, I come from Hajj, spend this amount of money. Who are you now? Hajjam coming to teach me. So they were, the whole mentality was different. Bodhisattva says, I find you very interesting. But where you learned all this thing here? So no, I sat in the company of Shobha, if I remember correctly, and Shobha imparted these three lessons to me. These are three sunnats. Do you see how their minds were opened? So this is how our minds will be opened. There must be in this ummah someone that is learning and someone that is teaching. Someone that is learning, someone is teaching. Right? Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi was explaining when auntie is making the rotis, you see, she's making the atal and she's teaching one child. One of Yusuf was reading that yesterday, La ta'manna ala Yusuf. So my mind went into that one incident. So this auntie is in the kitchen there and she's got the dough, she's making the atal. And she's got a child that she's teaching the Quran Sharif to. So the child is reading La ta'manna ala Yusuf. So that auntie, what she did, she's making the roti. So she took the atta and she left it one side. And she got the bowl where she got the atta and all that. So she dusted the atta in that. Right? You see all adab this is. Atta, that atta mustn't be wasted. Dough, that flour mustn't be wasted. She's rubbing hands and putting into the dish. She took the child's Quran Sharif from his hand and she placed it on a high place and spanked that child. Right? She spanked the child and then she says to the child that there's only two methods, Ishmam and Room. There's the only two ways that you can recite this. Tajweed, these are two terms, Ishmam and Room, right? La ta'manna ala Yusufa wa inna lahu lanasihun. But can you see how many adabs this woman, all women are not anaris, not all stupid, eh? See how she educated this child. One is that atta is not to go to waste, right? So she dusted her hand. Then, she took the Quran Sharif and left it on a high place because she's going to spank the child with the Quran Sharif. The chances are that the Quran Sharif is going to drop. So she put the Quran Sharif on top. Then she corrected the child that these are the two methods that you can recite, Ishma and Room. But you see, in the kitchen is happening. Yeah? That's a kamal of our deen. Alhamdulillah. What kamal in our deen, alhamdulillah. In the kitchen, while she's making roti, you know, you'll say she's a stupid little thing here. And she's teaching big tajweed sabaks here. But so simply they're imparting it. So simple. Now for the same thing goes the tajweed class, Ishmam and Krum. What it is now? Yeah, that class, you know, the baby class, infant. And the mother is taught. So the mother is teaching the child. And she's teaching the Quran and adab also. Adab and the Quran. This is how you respect it. You have to be spanked, but this is how you will have to learn it. So, the barber shop is also teaching, the kitchen is also teaching. In every department, there is some education that is being imparted. Every department, there is education that is imparted. There isn't a department where there is no education that is imparted. In Saharanpur, on the road to the madrasa, there was a jeweler. Banyas, normally they are all the jewelry shops. So around eat time, so the Mawlana wants to give some type of a present to his wife. Comes to the jeweler shop. So he tells the Banya, you know, I need to buy this jewelry. That time they were using gold and silver to buy and sell, you see. So he asked the Banya, what is the price? Says, so many shillings, for example, right? 2 shillings or £2, right? £2.9 gold. He says, I'll give it to me and I'll... There was an understanding and friendship. So I will do the payment later. Give me that jewelry, that bangle, and I will make the payment later. Father Banya is telling the Mulana, Mulana Sahab, but according to your Sharia, this is not permissible. Banya kahi ka, mujhe akar ke sikhata hai. You are a Banya, you're teaching me, I'm a Mulana, yeah. I spent 10 years in the madrasa. So Mulana, don't get excited. Let's rest here, Cool it now, calm it. The big Mulana that is in your madrasa, I learned this masla from him. That you can't buy gold for gold on credit. You have to do it as a cash transaction. See, the Banya is teaching you. So the Mulana is saying, but tomorrow is Eid now, I need that thing now. How must I do now? So the big Mulana, I asked the big Mulana, he showed me a method to do it. How to do it? How you do it? Now you see that person is your friend. You get the 2 pawns from him and buy it. Right? You get that chap is in the neighborhood. He is your friend, right? So you get the 2 pawns from him. Buy it on credit. Now you got it. You bought it cash. You got the cash. You bought it cash. And you pay him afterwards. Finish. You pay him afterwards. And now you can do the transaction. But you see, the whole town is buzzing with ilm. Umar radiallahu anhu, he started this whole system up. Right, you're doing business. You bought this 3 pounds of wheat and you're selling it to him. Did you weigh it? No. You're disqualified. Your license is confiscated. Khalas, gone. Now it's gone back to the masjid. Please teach me all the maslas on trade and commerce. Otherwise, I won't have anything to give to my wife and children tomorrow. 2 days time, learned everything, all the maslas. So he made the whole bazaar, the whole shop, he made it a madrasa. Alamgir Aurangzeb Rahmatullah Ali, he saw his ministers and all that, they don't know about masail, right? So one day when the parliament session was on, Alamgir was a top alim, great alim. Parliament session is on. He is one of his main advisors, right hand man. He asked him that one complicated masla. I don't know, Angiyaz. Tujhse itna nahi hota ke in talib talaba se jaakar ke pooch karke masail ko seekhe. Now in a full parliament, he is reprimanding. You can't do this much. Go to those simple students and go and learn from them. Now what happened to the whole parliament? One person got reprimanded, but all the ministers, they got jacked up. They got all worried. But the king has reprimanded me now. When the king has reprimanded him today, tomorrow will be my turn. Before my turn can come, let me go and learn all the masters. So he's turned the whole government into a madrasa. Whole government is turned to madrasa. But Alamgir had two intentions. One intention was to get the students, that people must respect the students, right? They must respect the students, and he didn't want to use the public treasury to pick up the students, right? So how to get it worked out? He didn't want to use the public treasury. So he reprimanded him here. Now they go to the students and go and ask, please go teach me this sabak here. I'll see you right. So the student, unka bhi kaam ban gaya. They lot improved. And these people got educated. But the whole parliament, he got them right. You see? And how easily we can achieve it. How easy. Just that we need to open our minds. Be bigger hearted and have that type of spirit. How can we educate? How can we impart? The bazaar, we can do it right. The kitchen, we can do it right. The parliament, we can do it right. Everything have the Islamic ethos and Islamic flavor. Everything, small thing or big thing. Okay. Now you taught your child, for example, that he mustn't watch TV and all that. So you went and visited your uncle's place. Abba, but isn't the television haram? You told me that day. Now the Abba saying, shh.
But the child made the amar bil ma'ruf. The nahi anil munkar, he corrected it. He corrected. You taught him, you instilled it into him. So in front of your uncle, he will correct you. He will correct you. So this is that ethos. This is what we need to do. This is what we need to do. We need to educate, speak about these things. What is Zakaria? His small child was being weaned off, you know. She was weaned off. 2 years had ended, so she's weaned off. So her mother is telling her that now it's haram for you to drink milk. So anyway, another child was still milking. So this small one is telling the mother that that one is drinking haram milk. That one is drinking haram milk. But it's so enjoyable to see this atmosphere. It's so enjoyable to see this atmosphere. Isn't it enjoyable? Great to see this type of atmosphere. There was one situation. That uncle doesn't, he hardly comes, right? So he's an uncle, he's a cha-cha, kaka, right? So he comes, to, he came to the house. So the wife went and spoke to him. It's the wife's kaka. But the child doesn't know that it's the kaka. I'm going to tell Abba that you're speaking to a stranger. How can you speak to a stranger? You must make parda from him. See, the child is observing. The child, you've taught the child also parda. What is parda? What are his limits? What he can do, what he can't do. So the child is growing up in that ethos, in that type of environment. One mullah was getting engaged. So the child of the house went into the nursery and told the nursery ma'am, they have to give daily news. So, you know, my khala, my mother's sister is getting married, you know. Who she's getting married to? So and so, Maulana, she's getting married to. Now, the nursery teacher is asking, but who is this Maulana? I want to see this Maulana. Appa, my mother told me it's not permissible, it's haram for you to look at strange men. Appa, my mother says it's not permissible for you to look at strange men. But I didn't see him, I just want to see who is this. Even then, you see that Islamic ethos, that education is being imparted so nicely, so conveniently. All we need to do is we be a little bit more open-hearted, open-minded, and you'll see the same flavor just moving around. Don't wait for the time. We're traveling, we saw a wrong, correct it. But in a nice way, approach the situation in a nice way, in the right way, respectfully. You'll find a lot of things can be achieved. Now you're here in a gathering like this, a lot of people, brothers of ulama, students, etc. So you show them the smaller things, the major things, whether it's the Quran Sharif, whether it's namaz, whether it's the clothing, whatever it is. But find out small thing, big thing, major thing. You'll find now after the 10 days, 15 days, 20 days, so many things you have learned, so many things you have benefited from. So this ummah must be like that. See, our Nabi Sassam is a teacher, so we are all students. Nabi Sassam is a teacher, so we are all students. Now you're in a shop now, and someone has come a little bit late to work. So the worker tells you that, boss, you know what, I come 1 hour late, so this 1 hour must be deducted from my salary. The boss said, but how must I deduct it? He said, you know what you do? I have to work in a month, 26 days, for example, right? So I'm getting 2,600 rand for the month, for example. So that means
100 rands a day, right? Now, I need to work, say, 10 hours in the day, so you will deduct 10 rands from my salary. Straight and forward, see, 2,600 in a month, 26 days in the month, and 10 hours in the day. So 1 hour I've come late, so you will deduct so much. Now, who taught you all that? Mulana told me this. So he's playing it fair. And the boss is saying, you know what? Well, I employed you for 26 days in the month, 10 hours in the day, but that day I made you work overtime. I made you work 1 hour late, 1 hour more than what was agreed. So take an additional 10 rands. But now you see, the whole Islam, the whole deen, whole Sharia, all the laws are being implemented, whether it's the shop, whether it's the kitchen, whether it's on the road, wherever it is, but deen is being practiced. Allah Ta'ala Tawfiq.